welcoming everyone to this week's CCL training program. We run Citizens Climate University as a weekly webinar of Citizens Climate Lobby to provide CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change, effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is specifically talking climate change. Join climate communicators from Nokē for a training that will boost your skills in proven communications techniques that shift the national conversation about climate change to be more positive, civic-minded, and solutions-focused. Our speakers are going to provide an overview of the National Network for Ocean and Climate Change Interpretation and their recommendations for identifying common values, metaphors, and solution framing, as well as really how to engage attendees in an action-oriented practice activity that we're going to walk through tonight, where we'll have a chance to identify some recommendations that they have and put them to work. So with that, let me introduce our esteemed speakers and then pass it to them. We have the wonderful March 2020 CCL Monthly Speaker. Hannah Pickard is back, and she is the Program Manager of National Network of Ocean and Climate Change Interpretation, where she leads a national effort to change public discourse on climate change to be positive, civic-minded, and solutions-focused. For the last decade, she's grown a network to over 184 institutions who are committed to using their public platform to invite their communities into climate action and support each other into their practice. With Hannah tonight is the wonderful Rebecca Egbert. Rebecca is located in Salt Lake City and has a passion for climate change communication. And way back in 2012, she completed a Nokē study circle and discovered the strategic framing they use, and is certainly currently serving as the membership engagement committee chair for the network. And with Hannah and Rebecca, we have the wonderful Katie Vitti. Katie currently works as a STEAM facilitator for the Natural History Museum of Utah, where she creates and facilitates informal science classes for students from K through 5 and graduated from Westminster College in Salt Lake City. She's also been a Nokē member since 2016. And we also have Alexis Kuntz. Alexis became a member of Nokē in 2016 as well and loves being a part of that community, as well as helping people realize their role in climate change solutions. She's worked with volunteers in the network for over 6 years and is also the volunteer tour guide for the Utah State Capitol, where she educates a lot of youth about government and history. With that, if we've done our job well, the following three learning goals are going to be what you walk away with from tonight's training: a chance to introduce resources from the National Network of Ocean and Climate Change Interpretation, a chance to really highlight ways to talk about climate change that promote helpful engagement and bring more people into action with you, and a review of the tools and opportunities to help you start more effective climate communications and conversations. So with that, thank you all so much for joining us tonight. We look forward to a wonderful hour together.
Thanks, Brett. First, thank you for having us back. We are really excited. It's been one of our, the March call was kind of one of my hopeful spots for the beginning of all of this social distancing, and tonight is no different. I'm really excited to be with a whole bunch of new faces. And we've heard that the Salt Lake City CCL chapter is a powerhouse, so I thought I needed to bring to bear the Salt Lake City chapter of Nokē to the table so that we can start connecting our joint forces. So Nokē, I'll do a little bit about what Nokē is, turn it over to Rebecca to talk about the kind of opportunities we have ahead of us, and then Katie and Alexis are really going to go through our recommendations and our practice activity. So for those of you who are kind of new to what Nokē is, our network goal is to change the national conversation around climate change and ocean change to be positive, civic-minded, and solutions-focused. We do that through our evidence-based communication methods, by providing social and emotional support to our members and to our communities, so that we can be resilient and continue this work. And we employ the latest climate science findings and apply them in our institutions and in our work with our communities. And we build trust and lasting bonds among our colleagues across the country so that we can keep the fight going and also develop new and effective ways to engage our audiences.
The National Network for Ocean and Climate Change Interpretation, known as NOCI, is a committed group of informal science educators who are changing the conversation on climate change. Rather than doom and gloom, they're focused on hope and civic action. Educators at aquariums, zoos, and museums facilitate millions of conversations each year, but climate conversations weren't happening because science educators were unsure of how to guide them productively in a family-oriented setting. Thanks to funding from the National Science Foundation, a partnership was formed between climate scientists, informal science educators, and social scientists to create a training program for interpreters at aquariums, zoos, nature centers, and parks. The program worked with Strategic Framing, an empirical approach to science translation to help interpreters in their work and in their conversations with friends, family, and colleagues. The NOCI program launched in 2011 and has been refined as the network grew. Program evaluations have found that our alumni develop more confidence in their ability to explain climate science, increasing their willingness to discuss climate concepts. NOCI language increased people's understanding of climate change, their support for solutions, and commitment to civic engagement, and we've shown that strategic framing can turn concerned individuals into active and engaged citizens. By July 2017, over 400 colleagues from 170 institutions in 38 states had joined our community, and our community is reporting consistent improvements in its own effectiveness. Using innovation, collaboration, and empirical inquiry, NOCI has launched a growing network of climate interpreters with tools that help millions of Americans understand why our climate is changing and motivate them to get started on solutions in their community.
So some of the things we've learned in our work over the last decade, and some of this was highlighted really quickly in that video, when we did some national evaluation, we looked at institutions that had NOCI-trained interpreters, people who work with the public to talk about climate change, compared them to institutions that did not have NOCI in place, and then we also looked at a subset of the population that just don't visit museums and zoos and aquariums. And when we compared those groups, what we found was that visitors to institutions with NOCI-trained staff were more likely than visitors in the other cases to encounter climate change information. So something we were doing was promoting people's confidence in raising climate. They were more likely to express hope and confidence about their ability to talk about climate change, so the modeling we were doing was effective. They believe that talking with friends, family, and their politicians is an effective strategy for tackling climate change. They're more likely to talk about climate change with others, and they're more likely to engage in personal and civic actions to address climate change. One of the reasons why those things are important to us, again, if our goal is to change public discourse, it's because we know from our friends at the Yale Project for Climate Communications that right now 70% of Americans think climate change is happening, but 65% of Americans rarely or only occasionally discuss climate change or never discuss it. And so we're really keen on helping that 70% of the country who feel maybe concerned and isolated because they don't think they're supposed to talk about climate change or they're afraid to figure out how to talk about climate change. We want to unite those folks to help them realize that they're not alone and that they're actually the majority of the country, because we know once we get people talking, then we can actually talk about different solutions and start tackling this in a like solid policy level way. The other things we've learned through our evaluation is that when you take somebody, so this person with the little blue hat, you can imagine it's me or Rebecca or you, and you equip them with, yes, the knowledge about climate change, but a sense of community. You equip them with techniques for communicating climate that make them feel really confident. And you give them, you kind of increase their confidence. What happens is their messaging and their ability to talk about climate change improves. That's not surprising. Their sense of hope improves. And what that leads to is the person they're talking to, it strongly increases their understanding that of the science that explains the change in climate. But what we also started to see was that the hope that we were feeling that we were getting from our community was radiating out to the people that we talked to. And that hope improved the people we were talking to sense of hope that we can find solutions and that we can take action. And what we have learned is that that sense of hope is actually almost equally important to get someone to actually act. We really need to, it's not just knowledge that someone needs. They really need a sense of hope in order to kind of get off their negative downward spiral that comes with these kind of existential crises. So therefore, kind of our mission as a network is that we believe and we're proving that together we can train enough voices in our proven communication techniques that we can shift the national conversation about climate change to be more positive, sometimes we call it hopeful, civic-minded, and solutions-focused. 10 years ago, you can imagine it was really, does climate exist or not? And that's not where we want to go. We want to focus on the solutions. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Rebecca.
Hi, everybody. I'm really excited to be here with all of you, and we're just big fans of Citizens Climate Lobby and all the progressive work that you do in your communities to lift this work that we're all doing together. And right now I'm going to share with you a few ideas on what our online community looks like. And I put a link here in the chat box. You're welcome to bookmark this and take a look at this while we're chatting today. And we're going to go over the training program opportunities that are coming up, and then ultimately what does network membership look like within Nokē. For all of you. So climateinterpreter.org, we really recommend checking that out. And then we'll go on that training page. You'll see all sorts of information about upcoming trainings. We just don't want to overwhelm you too much information. We know we're throwing a lot at you in this hour. But also for those of you that just, I cannot wait, I just need to get a sense of what is strategic framing, what are these terms they're using. I highly recommend checking out that Frameworks Academy on the training page of climateinterpreter.org and taking a look at that. So bookmark these links, go back to them later on if you want. You're welcome to do it while we're talking to you now. But we just wanted to show you some of these resources. And this last slide that I had to share with you gives you an idea of what Nokē looks like in your backyard. And so there are some states here that are not represented, and we are working to change that. We want members like you of Citizens Climate Lobby to come and join us in this coalition and help us change that conversation nationally on climate change. But for those of you that see your state on here, you're like, whoa, I have some overlap. That's what we're trying to create. So here in Salt Lake City, that's why we're on this call right now, three of us, to show our local chapter here that we're here as a resource and are looking forward to a beautiful, bright future of partnering and helping one another. So thanks. I'm going to now turn it over to Alexis and to Katie. They're going to dive right into what this is all about.
Awesome. Thanks, Rebecca. So we are going to go into what Nokē is. We're going to kind of just touch on the tops of it so you can get an understanding, but we can spend hours and hours on this. But before we really dive into that, before we can effectively talk to people about climate change, we kind of need to know what's going on in their head. What are they thinking? What comes to mind when you hear the word climate change? Most people, we all kind of have that initial thought of what happens, but it's very easy with like-minded people. We probably think that we're thinking the same thing, but that general public, what exactly are they thinking? So that's really our first step. And we have another video, and this is just a quick video that our partners at Frameworks did, where they interviewed people on the street and were trying to figure out what do they know about carbon dioxide, a very simple question, and you just see a variety of answers.
As part of a larger, more comprehensive investigation to find out how the public thinks about carbon dioxide and its role in climate change, Frameworks researchers conducted rapid interviews with ordinary Americans in locations across the country. So let's take a look at what this looks like in some excerpts from our on-the-street interviews, a rapid response research technique that Frameworks uses to confirm and visualize the findings of more in-depth research on public thinking.
What role do you think that carbon dioxide or CO2, what role does that play in the climate?
Very bad one.
Gosh, this is awful. I should know all this stuff.
Give me a definition if you don't mind.
That's what you exhale, right? Trees absorb it.
Think of trees, like processing carbon dioxide usually.
Isn't that like the car exhaust?
The fumes out of a car.
Car exhaust.
If you leave a car on in a garage, the carbon dioxide will go inside that car.
I don't know. I think trees absorb it, we exhale it. It's not good for us to inhale, but it's good for plant life.
So what do you think happens if there's too much carbon dioxide on the planet?
That means everybody's gonna die. We go all suffocate.
The impact, if there was a massively, like too much, it could impact our health in general. I don't know if too much of it could also negatively impact plant life.
I don't know, probably like greenhouse gases or something like that.
Something about the ozone, I think.
Oh, it affects the ozone layer greatly.
Everybody's saying the greenhouse effect, global warming. It like puts a hole in the ozone.
It's breaking down the ozone, I think. It's the one that's doing that, I'm not sure.
I think it disrupts the ozone layer.
People were unable to easily reconcile carbon dioxide's role in respiration and photosynthesis with its role in climate change. To explain the harmful role of anthropogenic CO2, Frameworks developed and tested the taxonomy of regular versus rampant carbon dioxide. This helps distinguish between the CO2 that is necessary and CO2 buildup that is problematic. Researchers read this passage aloud and then asked participants follow-up questions about carbon dioxide, as well as some of the broader causes and consequences of climate change. Let's listen to how this way of framing information about the effects of CO2 worked to help participants distinguish between beneficial and harmful levels of carbon dioxide.
Yeah, from what I'm getting, regular is just the standard. If there was nothing, if there was no influx of carbon dioxide, regular is just the equilibrium. It's I breathe out, plant breathes in on a cycle. And then the rampant is if, you know, two people breathe out and there's only one plant, the plant only needs the one breath, in a very, very simple analogy.
We're producing more carbon dioxide than a normal life cycle or environment would, naturally. Just as humans produce it and the environment consumes it, plants consume it, and it's just building up.
Carbon dioxide's a part of life. We need some of it, but we currently have way too much in the environment.
We have to find a way of lessening this rampant carbon dioxide that we're putting out.
Oh, you want to get rid of the rampant if you can, as much as possible.
More carpooling, more buses, more public transit, more bikes. Just things that we can control in our everyday lives, things that are very simple that we just don't do.
Find alternative fuels, lessen the emissions of the carbon dioxide that we put into the air.
There are things we need to start sacrificing and changes we need to make, or else it's just gonna keep getting out of control.
The rampant carbon dioxide is just the excess carbon dioxide that we're producing that human beings aren't always producing, so it's not natural.
That there's more of it than is necessary for just normal life. Not just human life, but plant life, life in general.
Naturally in the world, there is carbon dioxide. And there needs to be a certain level just to keep every process, photosynthesis and everything else we need. We are going to exhale carbon dioxide. That's going to happen. But now that there's too much of it, it's throwing the balance of everything off in the environment.
This taxonomy offers a way of organizing pieces of knowledge which otherwise might seem to conflict. Also, use of alliteration reinforces the idea that these two concepts are a contrasting pair, which helps distinguish between what is common knowledge about carbon dioxide and its role in trapping heat in the planet's atmosphere. This latter information enables thinking about impacts and consequences, including connections to other phenomena like ocean acidification. This framing tool's ability to establish a sound causal understanding and to head off dominant misconceptions likely to rise otherwise about carbon dioxide was qualitatively and quantitatively tested with nearly 3,000 Americans.
That was just a really quick little insight as to what maybe the general public is thinking when we do talk about climate change. And you did see an example of what we're going to move on to and just a little bit of a metaphor or something that we're explaining climate change and just how much clearer they were able to kind of put together their thoughts and kind of know what exactly was happening. So this here is what we call the swamp. And these are different issues or different ideas that could come up when someone brings up different parts of ocean and climate changes. So we have it broken up in different areas, and then you can see it's also color-coded. So the reason we call this the swamp is because some of these ideas can be kind of sticky, and we want to make sure that we're avoiding having people get stuck in our swamp here. So red are those issues that are kind of unproductive, things that are brought up when people are initially hear the word, whether it's ocean or climate change and consumerism. And these are ones that just really aren't productive. They get really stuck into thoughts that they've already had about these issues. And these are what we're trying to kind of avoid. Then if you look down, we have our yellow colors. And these ones are cautionary. You can kind of go either way with them. It could be productive, or you could kind of go redirect into those swampy areas where you're going to get stuck. And then at the very bottom, we have our green ones. And these are our productive cultural models. These are the things that we are trying to steer people into thinking when we say climate change. These are ones that kind of push us into a very effective conversation about climate change. So these aren't things you necessarily have to memorize. This is a really handy little guide that we have that you will be able to access to, just so you can kind of see how that's going. But we're going to learn a tool on how we can start moving these thoughts into a productive way. So here, this is when we're really going to start getting to how we tell the core story of climate and ocean changes. And the very first thing that we need to really do is we're not trying to pass to people that climate change is real and this is terrible and everything bad's going to happen. We want to really be positive. We want to make sure that people are leaving with this feeling, this sense of feeling hope. So we've kind of broken it into making our story of climate change in three different steps. And the very first one is, why does this matter to society? If you don't really start with why it matters, people are going to tune you out pretty quickly. So this is what we're going to kind of follow along. We're going to go through why this matters to society, how does it work, and then what do we do to improve the situation. So we'll dive into why does this matter to society. And the first thing that is easy, especially for me as an informal educator, it's very easy to think that people care about what you care about and share the same passions as you, because we get so tunnel vision on what we're passionate about. So it's hard to get out of that. So we have used these things called tested values. And these are basically values that are pretty common through Americans or people who are living in America, something that can really resonate with the general population and something that we can all kind of agree on. While maybe I'm talking to someone and I'm very passionate about climate change, they might not really be able to have that same passion, but maybe we can kind of share that same thing. So we're going to go into two different values that Frameworks has found that really kind of get us to agree on this. So our two values are the protection value and the responsible management value. And these are little reframe cards that we have that just make it really easy for all the members who have viewed Noki to kind of be able to have these quickly at their disposal. But we'll dive into a little bit about what these are. So we're trying to tell a cohesive story with these. So whether you're adding protection or responsible management, again, these are things that can really get everyone to agree and be on the same page. With protection, it's very much that we should care about the places we love, places we live, that kind of stuff. And then with responsible management, it really is, why does this matter? What's at stake? This one really gets driven in when we mention future generations. That's something that a lot of people can agree on, that we want to make sure that we're leaving things in good condition for future generations. So like I said, these are the two values that really kind of drive that in. And that's our first part of our story. So now we're going to go dive into a little bit of how does it work. So we've figured out why it matters, but now we need to kind of make sure that everyone, again, is on the same page of how does this work? And we could see in our video that we watched, not everyone knows that. So what we use is something called an explanatory metaphor. And this is to help make sure that these ideas that are maybe abstract and hard for people to understand, make them a little more concrete and something that they can remember easily and digest easily. It's also helping people understand what different mechanisms are at work, because again, a lot of times we can't go in with the assumption that everyone knows exactly all the different parts of climate change and how it all works. We all know that there's so many different ways that we're all connected. So it kind of drives into one fact and helps people understand the basics of what they're talking about. And then this kind of lets us link our story of why it matters to what we can do. They need to understand what's actually happening and give them that role of the story. So we'll go to our next slide with some of our explanatory metaphors. And we have four of them here. And we're not going to go into in depth into all of them right now because they are a lot and we don't want to overload you right now. But you did see an example of our regular versus rampant carbon dioxide in our video. And this is just trying to explain the difference between natural carbon dioxide and why we're worried about the extra carbon dioxide that we're putting in. These reframe cards are really great. This is one time where you're here, few of the times that you'll hear that it's okay to exactly copy down on these reframe cards. These are worded in a very specific way that has been tested and proven to quickly get this explained to the public that they can understand in just under a minute. So we like to have these reframe cards. I even have them printed here with my little flip chart. These I carry with me when I'm doing anything with this, just so I can easily access it. But it's a really nice way to kind of see what these metaphors are. And then the other big one that I think a lot of people are using, and I've heard it a lot, not even in Noki, is using the metaphor of a heat trapping blanket to explain what is exactly happening with climate change and how that really attaches to our planet warming. So you'll see it's a little hard because they're a little small, but on them, it's telling you the story that you're telling, and then on the backs of them, it actually has exactly what you can say and to quickly do that. And let's see, and I can read one of them to you real quick, just so you can kind of get a feel for what it is. And I will use the heat trapping blanket metaphor. The atmosphere is like a blanket that surrounds the Earth. When we burn fossil fuels like coal and natural gas for energy, we add carbon dioxide to this blanket, which is thickening the blanket. The thicker a blanket gets, the more heat is trapped underneath. This blanket effect leads to warming, which disrupts the climate. For example, this extra heat results in, and then that's where you can go into different things, whether it's rising sea levels, you can kind of take it into each level. But it's a really quick, easy way to explain the actual mechanisms that are at play with telling the story of climate change, which is our final part of the story, which is we don't want to just drop this bomb of this is what's happening in our environment, this is why we should care. And now you understand why, and not leave them with this sense of hope. It can be really daunting to feel like you have the weight of the world on your shoulders and that you must act to protect and do this. And it can feel almost paralyzing where you just feel like you can't do anything. So that's why we really want to end our conversations with something that's a little more hopeful and something that they can really cling on to and make it feel like they're making a huge difference and an impact. So this is where we talk about our solutions. And so this is where we try to move past that gridlock of no one's doing anything or that we can't change anything. We should just let it play out how it is. So we focus on three different types of solutions. And you can see them on our slide right here. We focus on an energy shift, moving away from fossil fuels and moving towards renewable energy. We also focus on providing ways that they can be more energy efficient, which is just finding different ways to reduce our demand for fossil fuels. And then the biggest one that we really like to leave with people is just how empowering it is to talk about this with others, and how if we continue this conversation, the more voices come together to have this cohesive view on climate change, it'll make a bigger impact. So something as simple as just talking to someone about it is such a powerful thing. And so we do like to leave people with that solution as well, because it feels like it's something easy that they can do. And then we really try to avoid doing the individual, that you must do everything, and really focus on the collective, because together we're a lot more powerful, and we're not trying to make people feel guilty if they can't do everything perfectly. But if we're working together as a community, then we are a lot more powerful and our voices can be heard a lot more. And then we also have a reframe card on our solutions. So here is an example of that. And this is just kind of driving into the fact, the story that you're telling, that we're concerned for our climate is normal and that there can be action and there is action happening and we can do something together. And it just allows everyone to kind of end and connect the story in the best possible way with that really sense of hope and that there is something that we can do. And then the last thing that we do talk about too with our solutions is our partners framework. They also did a study with individuals and kind of focused on what words or what cues can be used to avoid our swamp that we saw earlier. A lot of words, we now have such a heavy political thinking with it that we are trying to kind of move away towards that. So some examples on our slide is, instead of politicians, we can use civic leaders, or policies and laws, more like approaches and programming. So just changing that little bit of how we're using our terminology can really change the conversation and make it a lot easier to connect with people. Instead of saying government and regulations, just be focusing more on our community, our city, our state, our local municipalities. These are things that can really help our conversation really drive into that. So that was really our really fast intro to what we do with framing. I'm going to turn it over to Alexis, where she has some examples and really shows you how we can put all of this into practice.
All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about how to use those examples that Katie's taught us, those tools to make a conversation with people. And the first thing that we're going to do is to listen. What's happening behind their statement that they're talking about someone who may be negative about the situation, and let's go back into that swamp to talk about how to navigate out of it to a productive conversation. And then we're going to consider what tools to be used that will help us do that and help a conversation move towards solutions. And then always remember that when we're talking, that we're using a reasonable tone and a practical tone to make sure that people can understand and they're not getting heated or emotionally driven with it, that we're feeling confident and hopeful as we're talking about climate change. So our first example is someone who says it's just the Earth's natural cycle, someone who doesn't believe what we're talking about. So the first step would be to listen what might be going on inside of their heads. The underlying cultural model from that swamp that we talked about is that nature works in cycles and that nature is self-correcting, or that change is natural, that all of this is happening the way that it should be happening. But we have some tools to use to get through that. And we need to figure out which ones work best. And the one here that works best would be that regular versus rampant metaphor. And this is a good redirection to use because it can show the difference between the natural and unnatural cycles that are happening with climate change. And this can help us move towards a productive place where you're exchanging ideas about a solution for climate change rather than arguing whether or not it's real. So our example with that, and it's going to be a lot of text when it comes up, so we're going to read through that. But remember that we're talking calmly, and this is one thing you could say, but there's some other options to use in this statement as well. But here's the first one. Well, it's interesting that you say that. The Earth does have a natural carbon cycle. For example, we breathe in oxygen and breathe out CO2. Trees and plants take in that CO2 and give us oxygen. That's what we call regular CO2, and it's a balanced system. But since the Industrial Revolution, we've been adding excess CO2 by burning fossil fuels like coal, oil, and natural gas. And right now, that extra CO2 is being added too quickly and throwing the system out of whack. We call that rampant carbon dioxide. Fortunately for us, we have already have ways to limit the rampant CO2 that we produce so we can bring the system back into balance. So let's look at some important things that are happening in that conversation. The first thing is that first few words. We've heard what they've had to say, but we need to note that we're on the same page. So we say, well, it's interesting that you say that. And that helps align us with their thinking and keep the conversation going before we bridge into something that we can say to fill the gaps of information that that person might have because they don't understand what's happening in the cycle. And we can imagine, since a conversation in this exchange of ideas, and it's kind of a back and forth, that this conversation could segue into talking about ideas to limit CO2, or it could be a discussion about the cycle itself. But in the end, it's a conversation, and we are breaking down that spiral of silence and making it okay to talk about climate change. Because as Hannah talked about at the beginning, only a small portion of people are actually talking about climate change. Okay, our second one, it's too late and there's nothing that we can do. And this person, what are they feeling? What do you feel if somebody said that to you? They may be feeling overwhelmed or distressed and concerned at the large scale of the problem, which is totally understandable. We all feel that. I feel that sometimes. I'm sure each of you do as well at some points as we're working through this. Now, in that swamp that we talked about, there are sections called big, scary, and depressing, which comes up for a lot of people, and also feeling of what I can really do, and maybe even a tiny part of it's just a drop in the bucket, or even if I do my part, others may not do their parts. Now, giving up as a trigger negative swamp issues like cost-benefit thinking, which is that we're going to operate in a mode where we can coexist and thrive. There may be winners and there may be losers. It also triggers the eat it while you can and use it while you can. Think of it like oil efforts to get oil out of the ground in different ways, where we're sacrificing things like our environment and the health and safety of our communities. Now, we know that when people feel doom and gloom, they disengage from the conversation. The crisis frame is demotivating for people, so we need to get away from that as much as possible to remove that crisis from it and make it solution-oriented. And we can provide urgency about the issues and about the problem without having a crisis behind it. So our option to solve this, a really good one, is that solutions are happening all around us. We don't need, right here, that person does not need a science explanation. They may not be ready for that. But instead, we can instill hope and a pathway towards actions and solutions. And here's where our solution cards that Katie taught us about come in. Being able to explicitly point out community efforts that they can join in is a perfect option and remember that the swampy areas, giving them a single person action may not help here. Rather, an institution, city, or state action will give them the most sense of empowerment and a sense that we can change things, that we want solutions, and that solutions are possible. So our example, now again, this is going to look like a lot of text, but it really is a short thing to talk about in a conversation, so we'll read through that. I feel that way sometimes too, but let me share with you what brings me hope. It's not too late, and we don't have to wait for far-off solutions. Change is happening all around us. For example, here in Cambridge, the city negotiated a 100% renewable plan that residents should choose local green energy for electricity for a price that is close to the price of fossil fuel plants. By participating in this program, we are also fueling local green energy infrastructure, which will help us along in the long run. But there's also this awesome group called Mothers Out Front that is helping residents understand their options and encourage whole neighborhoods to sign up. When I joined Mothers Out Front, it helped me feel less anxious because I was surrounded by people who are lending their talents to help tackle this problem in a big way. It makes small contribution much larger and focuses on the root of the problem, which is changing our systems. Together, we can tackle the climate problem while building a thriving future. So here we have a lot of positive things that we can point out. We're starting with some empathy for people, that we both feel the same way in this situation, that it can seem daunting and too big. And then we're going to pivot quickly to a personal story of hope. So remembering the things that we've participated in and that we've seen in our own communities that can make a difference in the problem that we're facing. and then pointing to a specific action that is already happening in the community, such as that renewables plan that they can participate in right now. There's also been some text added on how specific solution helps us out, connecting it to one specific problem, and also helping to show that infrastructure is being added in those green energy and then switching that fossil fuel out. Now, pointing to a specific group can give them a lot of hope, and part of a group gives us hope as well. We've seen that. All of you are part of this amazing group to make sure that people feel that we have a sense of community and that there's a support behind the actions that we're taking. Now, you could also lead this conversation after you've talked about those solutions, about other system changes and what they could look like, what other groups are working towards, or what it feels like to be part of that group and have hope. Again, all great ways to have conversations with people and make them feel safe to talk about climate change. All right, one last quick conversation. And this one is very relevant. I'm sure we've all felt it. So let's pretend that in this context, you might be a green team member in your company, and you've suggested adding solar array to your rooftop to the leadership. Now, after your proposal, your response is, "My job isn't to care about the environment." Now, that may seem daunting that you can't overcome that because you are talking to your leadership. But the first step is to listen to that question and that concern. Now, this person may be landing in that swamp, in the consumerism area of the swamp, perhaps jobs versus the environment or some cost-benefit thinking, deciding whether it's worth the change. Their bottom line is more important than the environment. But we have an option, and that's to teach them why it's important through using one of those values that Katie told us about, through the responsible management value. And now here they may not be ready for a science explanation like we used a little bit earlier. They need the problem reframed as to why it matters to them, why it matters to all of us. And so we need to use one of those value cards. So again, we suggested the responsible management value. Now, the tendency may be to reframe your conversation from an economical standpoint, but that has shown benefits for a short-term change, but not necessarily the long-term change that we need and that we're looking for. So let's look at what that might look like with our value. So here it says, "I hear you. Your job is to make sure that the company tackles problems before they get worse or too big to handle, and make sure that we are good in the long run. I agree with that. When I said that we should put our solar panels on our roof, I was thinking about ensuring that our actions today won't make it harder for us to work in the future. Solar panels would help us reduce our excess CO2 emissions from our electricity generation. Less CO2 in the atmosphere means less heat is trapped because CO2 acts like a blanket in our atmosphere. We are currently feeling the effects of the extra heat at the aquarium each winter. The storms and precipitation events have increased in their intensity. We are seeing more days that we've had to close because our staff and visitors can't get here, which makes caring for our animals more difficult. It's a responsible thing to do for our visitors, our staff, and our animals to take practical steps today that ensure that the way that we operate doesn't put our business at risk for the future." So here, from our reframe card that Katie told us about from the responsible management value, we see that we're tackling problems before they get too big to handle. It's a responsible thing to do for now to make steps for the future, and then reducing future risk. Now, we did use part of one of the heat metaphors, the heat-trapping blanket in there, and a brief explanation of how the solar panels can help solve the problem, and then linking it back to the heat-trapping blanket for one impact so that we can make a difference and not feel too daunting with the solution for the problem. And maybe solar panels aren't the solution for what we need, but they're a good option. And this could also open the conversation up to what other steps are practical now and what we can look forward to in the future. Now, that is our last example for now. So I will turn it back to Hannah for a little bit of a wrap up.
Great. So we flew through those things, and we do want to open it up for questions, but just Before we do that, we wanted to like wrap up the slide so that you had the resources you needed. Just wanted to kind of take a moment to thank everybody for this opportunity. At Noki, we believe that in order to shift public discourse, we need to empower and support all kinds of climate communicators. And we often equate learning the strategic framing that we did today to learning a new language. What you got today is kind of like the phrase book that would, you know, if you were traveling to France, would allow you to order your food and figure out where the bathrooms were. But to kind of really be able to use this fluently and flexibly, it takes time and practice and feedback. And all of that takes more contact with us. And so we're really excited to announce that for the first time after a decade of existing, that we're opening our membership to any climate communicator who wants to practice their skills. It is not just for climate scientists and for informal educators. We are here for the wider community. And membership does not cost anything. I feel like we need to just say that. But we're really wanting to support the larger field. So please join us. Consider signing up and joining climateinterpreter.org, creating a profile. We don't spam you. It's really just the way to get access to blog articles and the research as it comes out, forums to be able to talk with more network members and ask questions that you're like, I'm tabling at this event and I have a question. We will be there for you. And joining the crash course that, as Rebecca said, grants you membership into the network, which then you're kind of on the inside track of our conversations. You can help steer the direction of the network. And we just feel like this is the right moment. We feel like we need to both support the wider field, but also include the wider field in the way we think and operate and move. And it's the diversity of our experiences that are going to make us all stronger change agents. And that's really big for us. And we're really excited. So if we have not already like overloaded you with the like, we love you, we want to help you, we want you to help us, I want to just kind of say that over and over and over again.
And the big exciting news that we want to share with all of you is that in 2020, we have developed a really fun opportunity for people to engage in climate change communication and with like-minded peers and people through Noki, and to do it all virtually and online. And it's just come at a really good time right now for all of us in a time of physical distancing and working from home and needing more opportunity to work on ourselves and some professional development opportunities as we're considering where we're heading right now. These are some great training options for people and resources. And we invite all of you, everyone on this call is invited to come and join us. So it's our Noki Crash Course. And there'll be more information coming and dates when the registration is live on that link that I just sent out on climateinterpreter.org. But what we suggest is everyone is also invited to create a profile on climateinterpreter.org. That's open to all of you right now. You do not have to be a member of Noki to do that right now. Become a member, create a profile, and you will get a notification when the crash course is open and what that will provide for you. And the best thing about the crash course is, what does it teach you? What do you get out of it? It's gonna help you learn these principles of strategic framing to empower you as a communicator and as an advocate in your community to engage people about climate change and to provide you that sense of hope and that efficiency of dialogue and help you with that. And then what's great also is you get access to a membership of National Network for Ocean and Climate Change Interpretation. You become a member with all of us, and we're here with you with civic-minded, like-minded individuals who want to engage and talk about climate change and what that really means for all of us. So that's the benefit. Learn about strategic framing, become a member. And once you're a member, you will be able to receive climate change in research and communication research as that comes out from our organization. You'll also be able to be right on the cutting edge of current climate science that's happening. Because that's what makes our program so unique, is we are partnered and have members that are climate scientists out there in the field collecting the up-to-date current information for all of us. So you get the latest information on that. You'll connect with others who have support and want to keep this going for everybody and help you. And it's just an amazing network of great souls here to support us all. And then ultimately you'll be able to practice your framing and receive feedback and people that want to help you. And what's great about being a collective is if somebody's doing it in one place, we can all kind of use and see what's happening and find those cutting edge techniques that will benefit all of us.
And kind of just our contact information, noki.org, it redirects you to Climate Interpreter, but it's just shorter. So that is how you can find us. We're also on Facebook and Twitter putting out resources and sharing what members are doing in different places. And again, go to Climate Interpreter, create a profile, go to the training page, and figure out different ways to plug in.
Well, I think that is a perfect place to end it, in that obviously after tonight we aren't going to be going away. This is an ongoing invitation to community and to really sharing and having kind of the wisdom of all of our experiences benefit from each other moving forward. So we look forward to helping Noki grow and the connections that really are already being made, leveraging obviously all of the CCL volunteer network to really stitch together this broader climate communication support network. And I'll just close, and I'm sure I'm speaking for all here still on the line, how grateful we are for all four of you, not only giving your time tonight, but also just all of the work that you're doing in the trenches in Salt Lake City and throughout the country to really help empower all of us to realize not only can we be a part of the solution, but we can help bring along others in that process. Thank you.
Yeah, all. Thank you all so much. It's
I'm glad you were on too.
Thanks very much for all the information. Yeah, looking forward to building on it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.